Service we have testimonies, so just keep in mind that you might like to share something with us. In the meantime, let's sing 236, I Am Watching for the Coming. To earth again, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
I am watching for the coming of the glad little day. Blessed Lord shall come.
wonder if Brother Keith would like to come and open this service here for the people, not just us, but those around the world.
Yes, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're with us, that through Holy Spirit you open your word to us, what you have prepared for us through Pastor Howard, the word of truth that is declared with power and authority. We thank you. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you open this up, that you open us up to receive it. Oh, to receive it, to be that light that you so desire us to be others. And when we pray for others' salvation, that we have things right within ourselves, that that light is shining as you would so desire it to be. As Pastor said, the Holy Spirit desires to fill us far greater than we could desire to be filled. And I just pray your blessings over us all here and wherever people may be throughout the world. That is one God that we serve, one Jesus Christ who is our Lord and Savior, and one Spirit who reveals all truth to us. I pray your blessings, your goodness over us, Father, as only you can do this afternoon. In Jesus' mighty name, to open our ears to hear what he would have us hear, to open our eyes to see what he would have us see, and that not only be hearers of the word, but doers in every respect, through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith. Let's sing 243, O my God. O Lord, my God, I should say. You may be seated if you wish to, or stand if you wish to. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the sky, I hear the mighty I sing that song, I sometimes think, you know, how great thou art. But you know, how great we think it is, he's way above that. We just don't realize how wonderful he is. You may be seated, and we'll see if anyone's got a testimony they'd like to share. I'll start off. As some of you know, Barbara and I have been away most of the week in Tauranga. And it was just a regular trip, regular in every way. We do it from time to time because some of our family is over there. But we were just listening to some music on the car radio, and it was all right. But it was, I never told Barbara this. And I was just about to say, hey, honey, put a disc on, which we've got, a music one. And I didn't even have to say it. She just bent down, grabbed the disc, put it in, and I can't think. The El Diva, was it? Oh, yeah, that was that one. But it was one coming back with who?
Oh, an Irish
group. Oh, beautiful, beautiful hymns. And we just started singing, and it was really good because no one else could complain. We just sung away with the music in there about how wonderful our Lord is on the cross, what he did, and cover your sin, and all this kind of thing. It was, we played right through the gorge. We started in Napotiki with that part. And when we came out, the El Diva one, we came from Gisborne through to Tauranga and heard that too. It was uplifting, uplifting. And the other thing that was really blessed us was, I said to it, spring is definitely on the way. Just look at the trees. Look at the basket willows, as I was calling them, and also the weeping willows and blossoms on here and there. And oh, so amazing, so beautiful, so lovely to watch. So we had a nice time there, but the Lord was the basis of it. Now, do we have any testimonies anybody would like by putting their hand up? Sister June.
I just like, excuse me, to thank the Lord that he's faithful to his word. This morning when I came to church, I wasn't feeling too well. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I can't go and play the organ because I wasn't feeling well. And then in my mind, I was thinking of the cross. And Jesus on the cross, bearing all my sins and sicknesses. And I said, thank you, Lord, you've done that at Calvary, I just believe. And very soon I was fine again, so I just give Lord the praise.
Amen. Always good to give thanks to the Lord, always. Any others? I think Peter's got one. Oh, Julie, okay. Just put your hand up when you want, and we'll.
I could perhaps share a lot of things, but in our travel down South Island and it's coming back, we got home from work, and the boss says, you've got to get back with the COVID. And I thought, really? We're not prepared for this. But however, we did do as we were told, and we said journey coming home. Now, it wasn't easy because we hadn't rested, and we thought, well, one thing we've got to do is get back, because my husband had such an urgency in him. It was like an asabi or something was going to hit our nation, because he kept on saying, yeah, we got to keep going. And so anyway, what he's really trying to get me to say is that when we were almost coming to Gisborne, just coming down the hill, I started to cry and I couldn't stop. And I was going, and my son going, "Are you all right, Mother?" You know, and I said, "I don't know what it is, but oh, I just can't explain it." And since God's anointed me out now, I just don't know. I just cannot fathom it. I cannot put it into words. But I do believe whatever God is doing, there's been a, how can I put it? While I just speak for myself, it's like God is saying there's no time for anything else of what I'm about to do right here in Tairawhiti. And since I've been home, I've been asked to do this, go to funeral, do this. This was just today, and I thought, no, I'm going to have to say no to people. So I guess with all the excitement and that which is happening here in Gisborne, I think for me it was a tremendous blessing. People walk in here, see what God is doing already in this place. And I marveled, I looked up and I went, wow. You know, I had to sort of contain myself, really. I said to my friend, I said, "You're not allowed to talk in here. You've got to talk outside." But I had such an excitement in my spirit, Brother Howard. I said, "Woo, look at these people." You know, if that's not part of the excitement that I got experienced coming down that hill, well, I don't know what was. But it's such a joy to be back. And it's so wonderful that we have such a great pastor. I must say, I say thank you, Lord, for blessing us with a man who speaks the word, because if it doesn't change you, you know, there's the power of what he says. Amen. And I'm so blessed to be a part of this people that are here. And I haven't missed any of the services while I've been away, keeping an eye out on everything whilst I've been away. So it's almost though we were away, but we're all also still a part of here. So, Pastor Howard, I believe you're a great man. You know, I just believe that we need to hold you up in prayer and be thankful for how God speaks to you. And, you know, you just, if God's not speaking to you, well, I do believe that people need to hear, because it's what he desires to want to do with us. He wants to purge us. He wants us to have this oil inside of us and to deny everything else that would come in at this time. So I'm so thankful for you, Pastor Howard. I thank God for such a man like you. Amen.
Amen. It's good to have you back, you folks. I think that means no.
I just prayed the Lord. Because the Lord told me, or just in quietness, read the words slowly, the Psalms. And through it, I've been getting these bleeding noses, but praise the Lord. Like you see, Pastor, prayed well, and so I'm trusting the Lord. Amen. And it's awesome. It's all him.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Any others? Pubs at the back there.
I'm Mariana Ropata. Just as we were singing the hymn of how huge God is,
how great they are,
I quickly saw how God had his eye on me right before I was born. And what started to happen was, there's not a part of my life that I cannot give glory to God for. I've seen him save me. I've seen him sanctify me. I've seen him show me the way through the lamp, so that my feet could see where they were to walk, and I would see the path because of the light of his word to me. And I just want to say that through the hymn, it was very hard to sing physically, but in my spirit, I saw all the moments of my life of when he reached down his hand, even when I did not deserve it. I saw his hand reach down to me when I was a little child. I saw his hand upon me where hospital wards were not open, and he took care of me in the corridor of the hospital. I saw him bring me through so many different accidents in my life, coming off a motorbike and sliding through the oil on a wet road at an intersection of a motorway. And there were no cars at all. And I saw how I got up off that road and got up back on that bike. I had no idea of the condition of the bike, the motorbike, until the next day. It was buckled. And so, you know, through that song that we sung up there was, this is what happened to me right through it. And I really wanted to sing. But, you know, he showed me, you're singing because you're reading the testimonies that I have done deep within you. All praise to God.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Did you have Bud Bubs or were you just in direct? Yeah, I just couldn't see her from there behind Brother Peter. What was that? I didn't hear. Okay. Is any others in? Oh, Bubs.
I just want to thank the Lord for looking after me. When Peter and I went down to Hawke's Bay on Friday to see our grandchildren, Peter and I went out shopping and had got some food for us this night. And going home back to the house, I knew they had a big dog there, but I thought they had it tied up. I went through the front door and this dog just shot to me and it was a huge dog and he landed on me and I was down and he was cuddling me, this dog. And I thought, oh, Lord, please help me, Lord, please help me, because I was helpless. I was just lying flat on my back. And my granddaughter came along. She said, are you all right, Nan? I said, take this dog off me. And I thought, well, it could have bitten me or it had a really good go at me because it's a huge dog. And the owner came along and shooed it away. So I got up for a little while and I was a little bit thing. And I thanked the Lord because I only got bruises. Well, that's nothing. You know, he could have bitten me or I could have ended up in hospital. And I thanked the Lord for, you know, his protection over me that minute when this dog was lying over me. And I knew it was the Lord that was there for me. And I give him the praise and the glory for that. Because Peter wasn't even with me when it happened. He came around the corner and he saw me lying flat on the in the porchway. But I thank the Lord for that because he, you know, he was looking after me. And I know that if it wasn't for him, I could have been eaten or ended up in hospital. So I thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for looking after me.
Amen. Really good. Was there any others? Okay, well, let's just have one song and then a chorus, and then Brother Howard will come. Number 339, He is here, hallelujah, He is here, amen. And you know what? He is.
Thank you.
That's true. If he comes to you and you don't change, you haven't got him yet. We do change when the Lord comes in. No doubt about that. Thank you, Brother. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. I was very blessed by my wife's testimony about her being too tired to play the organ. And she thought about the Lord on Calvary. And I can say that I often thought of that. Sometimes when I've gone overseas and I've done a lot of preaching every night, and you wonder how are you ever going to preach. It's just, God knows that. I remember in the Netherlands, in Holland, I was... They put me in the back room in a really nice church and all. And I went to sat in the, and then I heard them all singing in English, which was good. And I was just feeling totally exhausted. So I was just looking through my notes a little and could hardly keep my eyes open. It's an awful feeling. Anyone ever had that? You're reading and then you just, and I started saying, Lord, save me. Exactly how I felt. Lord, save me. And God, who is sovereign, when I went into the foyer, was going to come into the church. They were singing a song, a beautiful song, which says, I'll be with you when you're down. I'll lift you up when you can't go any further. I tell you, I just wept. I knew. That was the Lord Jesus speaking back to me. To cut a long story short, we had an incredible service. Everybody was at the altar. And it was just such a baptism of God's Holy Spirit. And at the end of the meeting, I was out the back again, and the people still in there, of course. I looked through the little round window, and their sisters just hugging one another and praying for one another. And the pastor said to me, who's now gone on to glory, Brother Hank Dykstra, he said, that's very significant what's happening. Some of those sisters had issues with each other for years, and God healed it in that meeting. Isn't that wonderful? That is the Lord, nothing to do with man. So I just thank the Lord that when you're feeling you can't go any further for the Lord, just think what he did for you. He went to Calvary and he went to Gethsemane and asked the brothers to pray, you know, pray with him. They went to sleep. So he went back and said, aren't you going to stay with me 1 hour? Oh, sorry, Lord, sorry. You know what happened next? They went to sleep again. You ever done that? He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's us in a nutshell. But he keeps us. He is our strength. If you turn to the Lord, like my wife did today, he definitely helps and gives us power. Praise be to God. So for a few moments, I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's word from Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. There's your light again. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And then when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And I want to preach about that. They saw no man save Jesus only. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this afternoon, Lord, for a few moments. Pray, Lord, that you'll make this real to our hearts, Lord. As Brother Lee said, you're the one. You're the one that gets all the glory. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. And just pray that you'll make it real to every heart, Lord. We'll go away from this place thinking about it. That you're the one. You're the lovely Lord Jesus who we love and adore. Lord, may you speak to everyone here and those gathering with us around the world in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to say this, a true experience with God will leave us with Jesus only. A true experience with God will leave us with Jesus only. Everything God does in our life, in the end, is to reveal only himself to us. It's all about God, not about us. Not about our gifts or our ministries or nothing to do with that. It's all about Christ. Any experience which brings any man to the forefront is to be questioned. When you go into the presence of God, the only thing that stands out is Christ alone. You're not thinking about anyone else but him. And that includes any true ministry. Doesn't matter how gifted they are, even a prophet or a great evangelist or whoever it is. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, must have the preeminence in all things. Well-meaning people often want to cling onto man's flesh, something tangible, something they can touch and handle. This is my pastor. Nah, it won't work. It's got to be the Lord. It's got to be the Lord. And many people, they want to do this. Or even an established organization or a church they want to cling to. Our church. That's very nice having our church. But brother and sister, it's do you know the Lord? You'll need nobody else. Do you know the Lord? But God will, you know, he will not have a bar of it when we start introducing all sorts of props with our experience with God. It's just all about him. Many in this day have slipped into this trap, no matter how anointed and called and vindicated a man is. And there's many of them. Christ must have the preeminence in our thinking and worship. Who believes this?
Amen.
In Colossians 1 verse 18. It says this. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That is all things. That in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I want to read that same reading from the Amplified Bible. He, that is Christ, also is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone, in everything, that in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first and be preeminent. It's clear. God does not want anyone else involved. When it comes between you and God, it's you and God himself. Not you and some great person. No, it will not work. So the Lord needs to take us aside. God has to separate us from all the worldly influences. There's plenty of those. God does not show himself to everyone. Just remember this.
So if you're privileged enough, God will visit you. Brother and sister, we want to be very thankful. Who wants God to visit them?
Amen.
Some here. Then we need to draw aside with the Lord alone. Speaking of Moses, let's just read this in Exodus 3, 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. There's that fire again. I didn't arrange all that. This just happens to me. That's the truth. Out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Praise the Lord. And Moses had separated himself from the columned halls of Egypt. He was a big man. If you ever seen the Ten Commandments, who's seen the Ten Commandments film? Keith, you've never seen the Ten Commandments? Oh, brother, you need help. It's a really wonderful, wonderful presentation. It's a classic. It really is. Anyway, you'll see how Moses lived. He was the son of Pharaoh, as it was. Not that he was, but they adopted him. And he had everything at his fingertips. He was the commander of the troops. He was very successful. He was loved by everybody. Everyone bowed the knee to Moses. But there, even though he had all that and came from the power and the popularity, now he turned aside to see. He turned aside to see, away from everything and everybody. God is not in the big shows, brother and sister. God is not in the big shows. You know why? He's already big. He doesn't need any big shows. But he reveals himself in simplicity. Yes, we need to get into the secret place alone with God. There's no substitute. There's no other answer. You've got to get alone with God. Alone, in a closet, shut away with the Lord. In Psalm 91, verse 2, 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. We've got to trust him. In our first reading, Jesus separated his disciples away from the crowd. They went up to a high mountain alone. We cannot mix freely with the world and expect to see Jesus. As did Moses, who has separated himself up onto a mountain. Now, it doesn't always take a mountain, but it does take separation. It is not just for the ministers. It's for the body of Christ, the children of God, to draw aside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. See? He wants you separate. And touch not the unclean thing, that's the world, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, not just preachers. You'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This separation is so Jesus can be seen among us. A real good quote here, calling of Abraham. Abraham, as soon as God called him, he called him to separate himself. That's a strange thing, isn't it? God, as soon as he calls a man, he calls for a complete separation. I love that. You know what the world wants? The world wants mixes today. But God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit calls for total separation.
He said to Abraham, separate yourself from your kindred. And that was a big thing to do, he said, wasn't it? I want to sojourn in a strange, I want you to sojourn in a strange land. You've never walked in this way before. Then remember this, sometimes this is the way God does it for us. But I want you to separate yourselves so that you can walk with me among the strange people, speaking a strange language. And you'll be a pilgrim, a sojourner. And here it is. Every man that's born of Christ separates himself from sin immediately. Do they cannot mix? The Holy Spirit just calls you right out, a different nature. You see, brothers and sisters, when God calls his children to a secret place and he shows himself, that's what he does. And in the secret place, God can reveal himself. He transfigured himself before them. My, what a privilege that was to see the Lord transfigured. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Is there light again? Just amazing. I never saw these connections until now. From what we said this morning about the light. They had a preview of his coming, his glory actually. Revelation 21, we know it. They saw a preview of it. Verse 23. And the city and had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. When God reveals himself to you, there's nothing on earth like it. There's nothing on earth like it when God reveals himself to you. Nothing can compare with the glory of our Lord. It brings a total separation. Brother and sister, please understand, these are not just words. You're going to have to separate if you want to go into the kingdom. You cannot love God and mammon at the same time. Not possible. He says, I'm saying, brother, you have to separate. It brings total satisfaction to every hungry soul. Man is totally out of the picture. When God is transfigured before a man, all he sees is Jesus. That's all you see. It's just the Lord. When Isaiah the prophet, that's right. Thank you. Maybe it's a good thing we turn our cell phones off when we come in, because it can be distracting. We'll let it go this time. No, and we see here. When Isaiah the prophet went into the temple, he saw only the glory of God. Let's read this in Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. There's no room for anything else but God. Isn't that wonderful? It filled the temple. And who's the temple? We are the temple. We found that out this morning. And when God comes into you, he wants to fill you. He doesn't want anything else sharing your life. He wants all of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants me all for God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he did fly. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Wow. You can't imagine that. Like Brother Lee said, how great is God? You get it all fixed in your mind, and you're a million miles off. When the angels say, holy, holy, holy,
is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. So we see he takes every part. He fills up every area. Every corner of your life is filled with God when he comes in to take over. It's something we've all got to ask God about. And so we see, and when he spoke, in verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. We don't understand this. The power of Almighty God shook the building. The posts, it wasn't just a little doorway like that. The posts were mighty pillars. And they moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Woe, woe, woe. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. We're just little wee peanuts. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. More peanuts. We're just amongst the nobodies. We're just nothing in the presence of Almighty God. And I dwell in the midst of unclean people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I believe we can have that same experience. In fact, you need to have that. Maybe not exactly like that. But you need to meet the Lord. If we live right and hunger for God, God will not tolerate carnality in his presence. He will not tolerate carnality in his presence. Now Peter, in his human zeal up the mountain there, suggested giving equal honor to the prophets. Maybe Peter felt he was saying something phenomenal. There was the glorified Christ. There was Moses, Elijah with him, communing with one another. And Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Lord, I have a suggestion. Let us build three tabernacles. Or really just denominations, that's what they are. Always trying to build something for something. Whatever God moved, whenever God moved in each age, man said, let us build on this move. You know, when Martin Luther came and preached the message, the just shall live by faith, it shook the world, because Roman Catholicism was controlling the world at that time. So what Martin Luther said was completely shattering and set millions free. I said, Martin Luther's a wonderful man, and he was. God's servant. What they do? They built a denomination for him. Let's build a tabernacle for Martin Luther. So they built the tabernacle to Martin Luther, the Lutheran Church. And I'm not against any of these people, any of these denominations, I'm not against them as people. I'm just saying what happened. And God let it rot in its corrupting dogmas. Not that Martin Luther was wrong, but they added to it. They kept adding and adding, and away she went. Then the glory of God shone light down through John Wesley, who we all know brought the message of sanctification. The same thing happened. Another tabernacle was built to John Wesley, in the Wesleyan Church, in the Methodist Church. And this age we're living in is no exception. God has shone down his glory in our age again, and promised by the word of God, Jesus Christ has been glorified in our day as the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been seen in the pillar of fire. We know that. Just like in Moses' day, cloud led them by day, pillar of fire by night. What did they do? Began to worship the serpent on the pole that Moses gave. Moses had a serpent, a brass serpent, and there was a pole are wrapped around this, which represent sin judged. Brass representing divine judgment. The serpent representing sin. And God judged it at Calvary. And that representing the brass serpent on the pole. They said, this is wonderful. And anyone got bitten by a snake, all they had to do was look and live. They just looked to where the pole was. Healed instantly. So this pole is just so wonderful. So they grabbed the pole. This is true. Read in your Bible. And they worshipped it. Can't do it. Go and have a bar of it. So the pole was destroyed. Even though God used it. Even God uses men. You've got to be very, very careful. You don't keep Christ in the center of the place. He is center place. And while Peter was speaking, while the great apostle was speaking these fancy words, Lord, let's make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was speaking, God interrupted him. He did. Put down a cloud. And Peter stood there quivering. Wow. Because the Bible says they were afraid. They got on their hands and knees. And God said, this is my beloved son. Who loves the beloved son?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We're not here to hear the preacher. I mean, God uses preachers, uses churches. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, when you start to lift something up above the Lord, it's not of God. It's wrong. God would not share his glory with any man, whether he's a prophet, a priest, or a king. He will not share his glory with anybody. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will... And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Be very careful we don't lift things up. There can be things in your mind you lift up before the Lord. You've got to be really careful. Give him the glory. He's the one. Some, like Peter, want to build a tabernacle to a great ministry or a great church. And doing so, they lift him up instead of lifting up Christ. What an abomination to the Lord. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that was stripped and beaten because he loved you and wanted to save you. And then we lift up something else that's just so low. Just awful. What an abomination. God said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He didn't mince his words. He said the way it is. We should be watching the message that the man of God is preaching. Don't watch the messenger, but listen to the message, which will always be in the Word of God if it's spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God will take it away from you. He'll share his glory with nobody. God will intervene again in this day to get people back on track. My, this world needs to get back on track big time. Peter was the Son of God. I believe that. But he lost his vision of Jesus momentarily. Brother Peter, I love him. And we love you too, Brother Peter. And one day he's going to be there with us. No question about that. But he lost it for a moment and started comparing Moses and Elijah with the Lord Jesus, and he's just one of the group. That's an awful thing to do. And it can be in your mind you set up things that are greater than the Lord. The first Elijah that came, John the Baptist, before the coming of the Lord said, I, John the Baptist, the prophet with the spirit of Elijah, I must decrease, he must increase. And it's never changed. Praise be to God. I just want to say this. In John 1, verse 35, people were following John the Baptist, and he was sent of God. He was the first Elijah ministry to come to introduce Jesus Christ. Now, that was great. But watch what happened. John 1:35. And the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, two faithful brothers that were with him, and looking upon Jesus, John, as he walked, he saith, John saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples of John heard him speak, and they followed John. Doesn't say that. That's right, brother. What does it say, Brother Keith?
They followed Jesus.
They followed Jesus. Now, any true ministry that's been sent, and you're hearing it right by the Holy Ghost, you will follow Jesus. Amen. Turning your hearts back to that faith of the early church. I just thought that was really amazing. That's the way it's written. Praise the Lord. They heard him speak and they followed Jesus. John thought, where are they going? No, he said, no. They're doing the right thing. They're following the one I'm introducing. And that's what we should be doing. That should be the result of hearing God's messenger. We should be following Jesus, who he introduced. In John 12:32, Jesus said this, "If I be lifted up," not the church, not the ministry, "if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You want people to come to Christ? Lift up Christ. You want people to join your church? Lift up your church. We don't want people to join church. We want them to be born again of the Spirit of God. So we see Peter losing his vision of Jesus momentarily, just momentarily. "And when the voice of God thundered out, they trembled and were afraid, and they fell on their faces. As the correction came, to stay in line, our eyes are upon the beloved Lord Jesus." Sure, we appreciate Moses. Sure, we appreciate Elijah. Just the same. But after God brought that correction, they stood up. They didn't see Moses. They didn't see Elijah. They saw save Jesus only. Just Jesus. I'm so glad he's just there. I just want him to be there. I don't want to see anybody else. I want to see my brethren. Yes, we love you, but you're a part of him. But we want to see Christ. He's the one we're looking to. He's coming. He's the one coming for us, sisters and brothers. He's coming for us. It's not a great knowledge we have or some puffed up spirit, but we'll give the glory to Jesus. They saw no man save Jesus only. You know, you can imagine it there on the mountain. There was the Lord in all his glory, and John the Baptist and Moses come down, and they must look wonderful too. Glory of God on them, talking with one another. I wonder what they're talking about. I believe they're talking about that he was coming to save mankind. I really believe that's what they were talking about. Find out one day, I'll ask them. But they were standing together. And Peter made those not so great words. "Lord, let's make a tabernacle for John, for Moses and for Elijah." And while he was speaking, God interrupted. A dark cloud came over them, and they were afraid, and they fell on the ground. and said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." That was it. And they were all shaking. The Bible says they felt very sore afraid. And when they got up, they just saw Jesus. You know, brother, when we, sisters, when we come out of the presence of God, when we come out of a great service, a great meeting, all we want to see is Christ. You know, when they had the revivals at Azusa Street in those times, the Spirit of the Lord came down mightily, like we don't even know about. It's a great move of God's Spirit, and a brother would get up and speak under the anointing, brother. Go up and just speak a word, an inspiration. And they share it around, and this is in the records. And they share it with people. We had a glorious meeting that night. It was just so wonderful. The power of God came. Cripples left the wheelchairs. Everything was blind. Eyes were open. And they said to the person, "Who was the preacher?" "I don't know." They didn't even know who the preacher was, for they only saw Jesus. That's what we want here. Who wants to see that? Amen. We just want to see the Lord. I just want to say, "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Home at last, ever to rejoice." Let's sing this. Shall we stand to our feet? "Oh, I want to," musicians, "look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares or past, home at last, ever to rejoice." What tea you got then, huh? Hold on, we've got three keys. That's no good. We just need one. What was the key? You're going to do A flat? Well, whatever you like. Wouldn't you choose and play it? "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. The streets of glory, look upon. Home, past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Home at last, ever to rejoice." You know, when Jesus comes, and he could come tomorrow, I trust you're ready. "Be ye therefore ready, for an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh." When Jesus comes, all you want to see is him, Sister Mel. That's it. I just want to see him. I've got a lot of people, good people over the other side, my mum and dad and many other wonderful brethren. But it's actually, I want to see Jesus. Oh, I want to see him. "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Praise be to God. Brother Harold, would you like to just come and close in prayer, brothers, we sing this again? "Oh, I want to see him, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let my lift my voice. Home at last, ever to rejoice." Thank you, Father.
Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we go from here, that, Lord, your abiding presence will always be our portion. Father, as we go, Lord, we'll speak the words of Ephesians chapter 6, and we place, by faith, we place upon each one of us the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, and the shoes of the gospel, which is the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Be with us as we go to our homes, Lord. Draw close to us. The Bible says if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. Thank you for this time, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessing and go with each one of us to our homes now. In Jesus' name, amen.